Welcome to The Watchman, your weekly one-hour expose on Bible prophecy and everything you need to know about the times in which we live, because the coming of the Lord is sooner than you think.
Welcome to The Watchman. And this evening we move in a totally different direction from what we've been moving in. I have been told that the messages for last month, for August, have been sent on your emails, and I've received feedback that so many people have received them. Now, if you've sent an email before and have received previous messages, you do not have to send again for the fresh ones, because your email is already in our mailing list. But then again, the link that you've been sent is the one that you keep on using, because they'll just be uploaded on that link. So as soon as you think they are, or at the beginning of every month, you check there, because the previous month's messages will have been uploaded automatically. So now there is no need for people who have received previous messages to keep on requesting for future ones. They just have to go to the same link and get the fresh messages. But then again, if there is anybody who has not received any of the messages on email and they do want to receive them, the email address is Ugandan Watchman at gmail.com, Ugandan with an N at the end, watchman at gmail.com. that's one word. Send an email requesting for recordings of all the messages and they shall be sent for you. They are absolutely free of charge. You can even download them on your phone and listen to them. So try to compress them and make them as convenient for you as possible. You can also visit and like our Facebook page, Ugandan Watchman. That's facebook.com/Ugandan Watchman, if you will. Now, we're talking today about the New World Order. Actually, interestingly, somebody who seems to have my trend of, direction of leading, almost seems to ask the questions that are directed with what I was going to talk about. So I was amused when somebody wrote and said, tell us about the New World Order. And that's precisely what I had planned to speak about. And I mean, some of the things here sound amazing, almost too conspiratory to even be true. And some people would say, I mean, seriously, is that possible? And they sound too much of a conspiracy, and they are so deep and so sinister and almost evil. Not almost, they are extremely evil, to the point that people are wondering, I mean, is that possible? Is that really what it is? Anyway, I'll tell you a bit about the New World Order, which has been used by numerous politicians through the ages, really, and is a generic term used to refer to a worldwide conspiracy which is being orchestrated by an extremely powerful and influential group of individuals, all of whom occupy the highest echelons of political, media, corporate power. Okay, and which includes the world's wealthiest people. It includes top political leaders. It includes the corporate elite, as well as members of the so-called black nobility of Europe. The black nobility of Europe is dominated mostly by the British Crown, the House of Windsor, the British royal family, and their goal is to create a one-world fascist government, and which is stripped of all nationalistic and regional boundaries and has to be obedient to their agenda. And of course, they know that it's going to happen. There are so many people who are working for it. They work as a group. Those who are not team players somehow are gotten rid of in ways that even the public approves of their being gotten rid of. It's because they control everything. They control the media, they control public opinion, they control so many things. So there's so many of the things, and you'll find here, so many of the things that you think are your opinions have actually been planted inside you without you knowing. And there are people who govern more or less what you think. And they do it in a very subtle way, and they present it to you in a certain way, which it has been tested to know that it will produce a certain reaction. Because, of course, they have numerous research. They go and do experiments. If you tell people this, what are they going to think? What arguments can you use to win them over? And then they get sample spaces. And so they present opinions to people and make people believe that those are their own opinions. Yet, actually, those opinions have been fed to them. And it's high-level deceit. Okay? Zionist banker, a guy called Paul Warburg, was one of the most powerful bankers in America throughout the early 1900s said, we will have a one-world government, whether you guys like it or not. The question is whether that government will be achieved through conquest or through consent. Apparently, he said that in 1950, when he was testifying before the United States Senate. Apparently, it is going to be achieved both through consent and conquest. Now, what's the purpose of the New World Order? What's it all about? The intention is to effect complete and total control over every human being on the planet and to dramatically reduce the world's population by 2/3. Now, if that sounds extreme, you wait and hear what comes up next, because reducing the world's population by 2/3 means that 2.3 billion people have to die somehow, because there's 7 billion people on the earth. Oh no, sorry, not 2.3 billion people. The population has to be reduced to 2.3 billion. That means 4.6 billion people have to die somehow. How are they going to die? We'll talk about that. What plans have been? And we'll talk about things that are around you that probably you haven't noticed. Or you think people are too good to be doing those things. You don't know that the plot is sinister and intently evil. And, I mean, they can do anything because, and I'll give you some of the things they say, the quotes and everything. And you know that these are people whom you know saying these things. And you can't believe they said them, but they actually did say them. And they are on record. And you'll find them anywhere you check because they said them. But you're saying, did he really say that? And yes, they did. So while the name the New World Order is the term most frequently used today, loosely, to refer to anyone involved in this worldwide conspiracy, the study of who makes up this group is a bit more complex and intricate, and of course a bit wider. But the man called Dr. John Coleman published a book called The Conspirators' Hierarchy, the story of the Committee of 300. Now, of course, you heard of the Committee of 300, people who apparently control the world. Now, this man did some laudable and, meticulous research in trying to identify the players and carefully point out the details of the New World Order agenda of worldwide domination and control. He accurately summarizes the intent and purpose of the Committee of 300 as follows. Now I'm quoting. He says, "A one world this is their purpose, to establish a one world government and a one unit monetary system and a permanent non-elected hereditary oligarchs who self-select from among their number in the form of a feudal system as it was in the Middle Ages." So how is that a feudal system where there's no more politics, there's no more elections and what? It's just these people selecting among themselves, and the rest of the people have to accept what these people have selected. And it's also hereditary. If a family is selected to rule over a certain region, then it's passed on hereditary to son and what, and things like that. Is that possible? I mean, are they going to achieve that? Is that possible? Is that what they are really planning? They are planning it, yes. Whether they are going to achieve it is a different thing, because, of course, it's going to be interrupted by the coming of the Lord. But I'll tell you this, if it weren't that, they would achieve it. He goes on to say, in this one world entity, population will be limited by restrictions on the number of children which per family. It will also be restricted by diseases, by wars, by famine, until 1 billion people who are useful to the ruling class in areas which will be strictly and clearly defined remain as the total world population. Now, if you thought reducing the world population by 2/3 is extreme, apparently the ultimate aim is to reduce the population to 1 billion, so that there is no, they call them useless eaters, and these words have been used by people. I will tell you who they are. No useless eaters, people who are on the world who are not contributing to, what these people think are important, are called useless eaters. So they must be gotten rid of until the population is 1 billion people. I told you it's 7 billion currently. So that whatever they are planning over a period of time, possibly 2 or 3 generations, is supposed to reduce the population of the world to 1 billion people. That is, somehow get rid of 6 billion people. Amazing, isn't that? And this man goes on to say, there will be no middle class. There will only be rulers and servants. All laws will be uniform under a legal system of world courts practicing the same unified code of laws, and which will be backed up by the one world government police and one world unified military to enforce laws in all former countries where no national boundaries shall exist. So there will be no national boundaries. There will be no Kenya watch. You know, there will be this. They probably have one family system that is ruling over, let's say, East and Central Africa. I'm giving an example. Let's say East Africa. And there's this family of rich people who are ruling. They rule politically. They rule in every way. They make all the decisions. Now, the rest of the people who are here are supposed to serve the system and an answer to those people. Now, those people pass on power in a hereditary way. So if it is somebody, he passes on to his son. And somehow, that is what they are planning. And it is going to be enforced by one world police and a one world military. And the system will be, he goes on to say, the system will be on the basis of a welfare state. Those who are obedient and subservient to the one world government will be rewarded with the means to live. Now, of course, apart from the rulers and the family and the people at the top, there will be people who are left there after the whole population has been, well, the whole useless eaters really have been gotten rid of. And that would include people like you and me. Those who remain will remain because they are going to serve the ruling class in one way or the other. You have something that the ruling class wants you to do for them. So they keep you around. And as long as you maintain the status quo and fight for it, you are rewarded with the means to live, so you can live. But those who are rebellious will simply be starved to death because these people control food as well. They want to control food. That's why they are pushing for genetically modified food here. Because genetically modified food, you have to get seeds from them. Now, the food that we eat, we don't need them. We only need the soil which God gave us. And nobody's going to take that away from us. So when somebody plants matoke, he's going to get from that very matoke, and the next. So is maize, so is beans. But if these people can convince you that these GMOs are going to produce more yield and things like that, and then you go and adopt them, you will have to keep on going back to them for seed. Now, that's what they want. They want control over food. Because the things that people control are wealth and food. And then you control everybody if you have the food. That's what they are fighting for. And that's what they have always been fighting for. And there is one cartel of which controls almost 70% of the food in the world, of the foodstuffs in the world. There are only about six things that people eat. I mean, wheat, rice, rye, and you know, and then another cartel that controls almost all the dairy in the world outside of, you know, our rudimentary system. Now they want total control, and the one which controls the food in the world is actually owned by the English royal family, the British or the United Kingdom royal family. They control everything, all the food, and they have farmers who supply them from across the world. Now one country where the government stood in the way of that system and fought the farmers who were fighting, I mean farmers who were supplying that cartel of food, was Zimbabwe. So when Mugabe touched those white farmers who were farming for the system, that's why the UK turned against him and everybody. And of course when the UK turned, so many stupid Africans here who write in your newspapers, Onyango, Bo and all that, all those people write along, not knowing what they are doing. They don't know what they think they are wise, but they are stupid. That's precisely what they are, because they follow into things they don't understand. They don't understand that Mugabe was touching a cartel that controls the world food. And that's why they were fighting him. It has nothing to do with democracy. So they will tell you he's cheating elections and what. Is he the only African president cheating elections? We know he's not. But you see, if presidents cheat elections and play according to the rules of the New World Order, they are left in peace. They can cheat as much as they want. They can do what, nobody's going to really touch them until they touch on the conspiracy of the New World Order, which is what Mugabe did. And the whole world turns against him, and you know, Britain and the UK, and then all the stupid Africans who think that everything that comes out of UK and Britain and America is right, follow along. Excuse my words, but that's precisely what it is. Follow along and start parroting the same opinions and the same things without going to the depth of it. I mean, what is so different in the elections in Zimbabwe than it is in other African countries? So why is Mugabe vilified and not invited for world conferences and what, when we have despots absolute despots who are worse than him, and there are many on this continent, who go there and even give speeches, give keynote addresses. But you see, until you understand what is at the bottom, you only feed on what's at the top. And they use the so-called elite in your country to feed you with what they want you to know. Because, of course, those elite are going to be invited for conferences and seminars and given per diems of $10,000 to $15,000, because they're supposed to spread the word and make people who think these people know what they are talking about believe. Okay, so that's how they kind of keep the whole world in one, well, almost mindset, and they control opinions using a few people at the top to control opinions. So anyhow, you know that, so these guys, so they are looking for total control over food, and they are almost there, okay? Here in Uganda, they will come, they will do seminars, invite MPs to go to some lavish place, make them sleep in lavish hotels and what, and then they come here and say we should get into genetically modified things, foodstuffs. And they don't know what they are doing. They really don't know what they are doing, because that is the way they are, because that's how they are going to control us. Now, we know that actually Uganda is chosen by God to be a food basket. Okay, that's why we are unique. We are unique. They don't have two seasons in Kenya. We have two seasons in Uganda. I mean, God gave every country a means of survival. He puts in the land, inside the land, within the land, or above really, what the people who stay there will need to survive. Okay, so in the Middle East, they don't have seasons. They don't have the weather that we have. They don't have the vegetation, but God put there oil. And it's elsewhere, you understand. So, now if we get into these genetically modified things, it messes up everything. It messes up the soil. It messes up the replacement. You have to keep on going back, because you'll plant your stuff and you'll eat it. Okay? But after you've eaten it, you'll have to go back to the same place where you got the seed to plant again. Who wants that when we can keep on planting? Because God put the means of every plant, food stuff, to survive within itself. So as long as you have maize, you can keep on planting maize, because you use the very maize you harvest to plant more. But of course, that's what these people don't want. And I'm just telling you about the conspiracy of the New World Order. And by the way, these are not, I mean, you might think it's a conspiracy. I mean, how could they? The world is a better place than that. You are in a prophet of doom and gloom and all that. Just watch this space. Just watch this space. And you know that, you know, it's so many of the things that have attacked the world and caught people unaware have actually not caught people unaware. They have just caught people who thought it was too big to be true or too evil to be true. But yet it was. And it was happening under their noses, but they refused to believe it because they thought it was, well, incredulous. Anyway, the New World Order, global conspirators manifest their agenda through this skillful manipulation of human emotions, especially fear. They use fear to advance their emotions. I mean, to advance their intentions. Now, there are certain things you will not do until they make you fear for your life and fear for your income. When you get into that position, then you are ready to do anything that they want you to do. And of course, since they control most of those things, they will create a scenario where you'll fear, and then you'll accept things which enslave you, just because the alternative is the possibility of losing life, which possibility they created themselves. A man called David Icke, talking about the New World Order, said their biggest secret is how they do their thing. Actually, the book he wrote is called The Biggest Secret, and he described what they do as problem, reaction, solution. This is how the technique works. The New World Order strategists create a problem intentionally. They create it either by funding, assembling, or training an opposition group to stimulate turmoil in an established political order, or in a sovereign country, or a region, or a continent. So they will come and find a country which is running stably and what, but because maybe the lead of that country is not necessarily falling in line with what they want, they will create an opposition, which might even be military. They will fund them, they will gather them, they will get some few disgruntled people. Of course, you'll always find disgruntled people in any country, no matter how well run it is. So they will get a few disgruntled people within there, arm them, fund them, and send them to create an opposition. And And they use that to impinge upon that country and what they want, what the New World Order people want. So, in recent decades, recently, so-called opposition groups are usually identified in the media as freedom fighters. So you see, there's a scenario, for instance, in Libya, a country where there is one powerful man who has a small population of less than 10 million people and a lot of oil money, and he was said to be worth about 100. And you've had the richest man in the world and all, but Gaddafi was probably worth twice what the so-called richest man in the world, or even three times, where his wealth was estimated to be about $160 billion. Now, $160 billion can stabilize the whole Europe. At the time when Greece was collapsing, Ireland was collapsing, Italy was collapsing, Spain was collapsing, that money could do that. But Gaddafi had that, and they were even bowing down to him because of his money. Because they made him, Gaddafi made the UK release terrorists who had shot down a plane under the guise that their health was bad, yet it wasn't. When they got back to Libya, they were pausing. But why did they do that? Because they tied it to some money, and they needed the money. The UK was in financial straits, and Gaddafi had the money. So what do? They create, sometimes these things can appear to create themselves, and they just take advantage. Of course, there was the whole Arab Spring and everything. But then they go and, so you hear freedom fighters in Libya, freedom fighters in Bahrain, freedom fighters in Syria, freedom fighters, you know, all these places. And the media, be careful when the media seems to label one group very well and then seems to demonize the other, because that's precisely what they do. So at the same time, the leader of the established order which they are fighting is being demonized and referred to as another Hitler, another Saddam, of course, was one of them. That's what they did to Saddam Hussein. That's what they did to Slobodan Milosevic, Gaddafi, all those things. They are trying to fight something. You're not falling in line. So they create an opposition, fund it. Then they praise the opposition, call them freedom fighters. And then because you're not the one falling, you're not falling in line, they will call you a dictator, a what, and all those things. So you know. So now you know how they operate. And it's done in... By Gaddafi's biggest sin, by the way, was talking all this stuff about United States of Africa and what. And nobody wants to hear that kind of talk, trust me. Because this continent has almost two-thirds of the resources in the world. We are potentially the richest continent. But just been taken advantage of because of how easy it is to divide us. So when somebody starts talking of unity in Africa, they are falling in the opposite camp of the New World Order conspirators. And that's precisely what happened. So, in the true Machiavellian spirit, the New World Order strategists are also involved in now arming the other side. So not only do they arm the opposition, they also arm the established order that they are trying to fight. So they keep the conflict going. Why? Because when a country is in war, it's always in debt. And they give them debt, and they eventually use the debt to control you. Some of these things have even been portrayed in movies. I remember seeing a movie where an African rebel leader goes to Switzerland, and they give him money, and he's trying to explain how he's going to use it. They tell him, don't worry. You don't have to tell us how you're going to use it. Just go and use it. And he's shocked. What sort of people give you money, and they don't have any terms? What they want is go and destabilize your country. Your government is going to come here to get money, and we'll keep we'll give them loan money, and we'll control them using that loan money. As long as you're fighting, your country is not going to stabilize. So we want you to continue fighting. So that's what they do. And they create all these scenarios, and somehow keep certain countries always perpetually at war. And look at especially countries which have a lot of resources, like Congo and what. The resources become a curse, because there's nobody who is... When you have all that uranium, gold, diamond, and what, who is going to allow you to be at peace? And who is going to allow a government that controls all that in Africa? It's not going to happen, because they want all those things. Uranium is used for atomic bombs. There is no way they can let Congo control that uranium. So they will, somehow there will always be war. One person is fighting, the other is fighting, the other is fighting, the other is fighting. And the people, they somehow make the people so despondent that they're always tying their trousers up in the belly and dancing and what, and people are taking their wealth. And that's how it all works, really. Because, what do they know uranium is for? So they might as well go and dance the Alingara and people come and take the uranium. I mean, that's how it works. So, now usually these conflicts which are created by the New World Order are drawn to the world stage by controlled media outlets, okay, with a barrage of photos. Now, so after they've created a problem, they are looking for a desired reaction, okay? So they will show you photos and videotape reports of horrific and bloody atrocities suffered by innocent civilians, okay? And then people are touched, Vambi, people are dying, you know? So the cry goes up, something has to be done. Something has to be done. There has to be something done. And now that is precisely the reaction they want. Now when everybody is saying something has to be done, then the New World Order puppeteers provide the solution which they want. They send UN peacekeepers as they did in Bosnia, or a coalition force as they did in the Gulf War in 1990 when Saddam Hussein was trying to grow wings. Or they send NATO bombers like they did in Kosovo. Or they send the military to search for weapons of mass destruction like they did in Iraq, which of course were never found. But once those peacekeepers are installed, the idea is to always keep them there and keep control over that country. That's how. To what purpose? Why do they do all this? What do they intend to get? I'll tell you this. Who is the New World Order? Who are these people? The corporate portion of the New World Order is dominated especially by international bankers. They are the ones who benefit a lot from war. Okay? And you've seen this in movies. They benefit from war because war brings debt. And debt is the biggest industry in the world, because interest is a big deal. So in some countries, they don't even want you to use a debit card, even if you have money on your account. They want you to use a credit card, because if you have so much money, you don't need their credit, then you're making them lose money, because the most money they get is from credit and interest. So international bankers are the ones who are in the oil barons, okay, and pharmaceutical cartels, which decide where to put their medicine, which will decide what to do what, which are behind all these things, which decide that there is no medicine for Ebola until an American doctor is sick, then suddenly the medicine appears, and you saw these things on CNN, so you will not say that is a conspiracy. I mean, the man was going to die. They tried to take him out for treatment in America. They realized he will not get even on the plane. He was going to die on the plane. So they had to give him the medicine there. And within 30 minutes, the man was up and awake and doing fine. So when the African leaders asked Obama, why don't they give our people that medicine? He said, no, we don't want to use experimental drugs on you. Wow. Since when did they not want to use experimental drugs on Africans? And they used them on American doctors. Of course, that's a lie. And everybody saw it was a lie. But somehow these things pass. And so they decide, so pharmaceutical cartels, so they decide Uganda cannot spread DDT. Why? Because then where will they sell their malaria drugs? But I'll tell you this, almost all those Asian countries have climates like ours. They can have mosquitoes and they can have malaria. How come they don't have it? Because they use DDT. Why can't Uganda use it? Where are they going to sell the anti-malaria if people like you don't get malaria and stuff like that? They need you as a market for their anti-malarials. And then they also need you to control you. Because if they cut off those anti-malarials, how many people are going to die of malaria? Who still get malaria? Okay? So it's all part of some kind of... Now, these are bankers, oil barons, pharmaceutical companies. Okay? As well as almost all multinational corporations. All the big multinational corporations are involved in all these. The big, big ones. Okay? The royal family of England. The Queen. Her husband, Prince Philip. Very evil man, by the way. Very evil man. I will tell you why. All of them, very satanic and very evil. And I know what I'm talking about. I'm not guessing. Prince Philip, who is on record, said that if he would want to be reincarnated, if that were as possible, as a deadly virus, so that he can come and kill all the useless population in the world. I mean, how evil is that? So he said, I wish I came back as a deadly virus to kill all you jokers. Why? Because he's the head of the, you know, the wildlife. So you people are taking space for animals, for lions, what? So you should die so that lions have places to be, and, you know, camels and zebras and all that beautiful thing. You are all useless. I mean, that's how these people think of you. I'm being honest. That's precisely what they think of you. It's supposed, I mean, Africa is supposed to be a continent for animals. Eh? But now you're too many. You're giving birth. You're producing. The animals are being pushed deeper and deeper into the bushes. Who wants you when they can have animals to come and look at and enjoy, you know, and enjoy their wildlife? And that man said that, by the way, okay? There are also so many, the decision-making nerve centers of the New World Order are especially in the city of London, in Basel, Switzerland, in Brussels, which is the NATO headquarters, but also the seat of the European Union Parliament. The United Nations, along with all the agencies working under its umbrella, such as the WHO, World Health Organization, UNICEF, and all those, all of them, NATO, and them all of them, New World Order. New World Order. By the way, the United Nations is created specifically for the One World Government, and I will show you how, I will get to the background of this. I'm just introducing the New World Order conspiracy to you, and it is more than a conspiracy, because it is true. So all leaders of major industrial countries, the so-called G8 or G7, which will soon become G10, okay, are active and fully cooperative participants in this conspiracy. Now in the century in which we live, starting from about the mid-20th century, the degree of control exerted by the New World Order was so advanced to the point that only certain hand-picked individuals who were groomed and selected are even eligible to become leaders, presidents, prime ministers, chancellors of countries like England, Germany, or the United States, or all the other industrial countries. So in 1996, for instance, Bill Clinton was standing against a man called Bob Dole. All of them, New World Order people. So it doesn't matter who wins, really. All of them are going to play as part of one team in the New World Order. Now, if anyone decides not to be a team player and tries to play on their own, either being too patriotic and wants to put their country ahead of others, do you know what they do? They do to them what they did to John F. Kennedy, the former president of the United States, what they did to Ali Bhutto of Pakistan, what they did to Aldo Moro of Italy, and more recently what they did to Admiral Boda and William Colby. What do? They kill you. That's precisely what they do if you do not go along with the conspiracy, or if you try to expose it and everything. Now, these people, the New World Order people, have been shaping history. Now this is where it becomes a bit amazing, because they have a lot of, I mean, they have been involved in things for so long. First of all, the New World Order, the word itself, to understand the origin of it, was first used by a man called, maybe I'll get there in a minute. But these people are responsible for most of the major wars, political upheavals, economic depressions or recessions of the past 100 years and earlier, and have carefully planned and instigated their elites to start wars for purposes of control. Okay? So they were responsible for everything from the Great Depression, the Bolshevik Revolution of 1917, the rise of Nazi Germany, the Korean War, the Vietnam War, the so-called fall of the Soviet Union, the Gulf War, the war in Kosovo, the two Iraq Wars, even the French Revolution of all those centuries back had elements of the New World Order in them. So all this, there's nothing new about this, okay? And the idea of creating confusion to control people started as far as the 12th century and by the King Philip of France. I will not get through the details of those. But a man called Walter Rothenau, who controlled German Electric in 1909, said 300 men, all of whom know one another, direct the economic destiny of Europe and choose their successors from among themselves. Now, of course, he knew what he was talking about, because he was one of the men. All the men who have control over the big stakes, the big motor companies, electric companies, now in this case, computer companies, and all those are a part of the 300 people who control the whole of Europe. Now, Joseph Kennedy, the father of late American President John F. Kennedy, said 50 men have run America, and he went on to say, but that's a high figure. So they want it to be fewer. You can't have 50 men. There should be fewer than 50 men running it. And now, in order to explain what is behind all this, one of them, actually, a former congressman in America called John Smith, once said that when a person has all the money he needs, his goal becomes power. Now, that is their power is their you know, ultimate aim, to have power of total control. Because Benjamin Franklin once said that there are two passions which have a powerful influence on the affairs of men. These are the love of power and the love of money. When united, they have the most violent effects. Those were the words of Benjamin Franklin. And now, another guy, one of the power seekers, and now this one from Russia, an anarchist called Bukhanin, explained that this process of corruption of people, even affected those dedicated to freedom, who were given just a little power to protect the powerless. As long as somebody has power, it kind of gets to their head. According to him, he wrote that the possession of power transformed into a tyrant even the most devoted friend of liberty. Now, that's how it works. Somebody, you know, they invite people, come and you'll have more power. Because, I mean, ultimately, when you have enough money for yourself, your children, your grandchildren, and you know you're never going to, you can do anything you fancy because you have the money, the next goal becomes power. Now, these people are rich beyond their, I mean, they are very rich. So what they want is total control over the world. A man called Richard J. Whalen, who authored a book called The Founding Father, when you're speaking about Joseph Kennedy, who was actually one of the new, even if his son wasn't playing as part of the team and was eventually killed, said, power is the end. What other delight is there but to enjoy the sheer sense of control? Then he said, let me see any other motive in the world, any other motive in the people who command. That's it. That's what they want. So they want to control and create what a world that they want. But of course, at the back of all this, it's demonic. Okay, and I'm going to show you that. But they seek to control the four key areas of human aspiration: the political, the intellectual, the monetary, and the ecclesiastical, which means the religious. They want to control all those: political, intellectual, monetary, and ecclesiastical. And they are, by the way, they have gone quite a distance in controlling all this. Now, if this sounds like a big conspiracy to you, that's precisely what it is. It is a conspiracy, but it's more than a conspiracy. Because a man called J. Edgar Hoover, I'm sure you've heard about him, because he founded the FBI and he was its first director. And the FBI building in America is named after him. When talking about the New World Order, he used these words. Now, listen to this. This is what he said. The individual is handicapped by coming face to face with a conspiracy so monstrous he cannot believe it exists. Now, that's what they do. They make the conspiracy look so big and so monstrous that you actually don't believe it exists, yet it exists. Now, I'll tell you, in the early days of Hitler, in the early 1930s, when the Nazi government had taken over, I mean, there were some Jews who noticed. And, do you know, this man had written in his earlier publications that he is going to exterminate Jews. Hitler, he's going to exterminate Jews. He's going to rid Europe of all Jews, and all these things had been written down by him. But somehow, because that was like one of the best times of Europe, they were seeing prosperity for the first time. People were living for long years. People were dying at the age of 80 something or 90, and they were prosperous. And it was a nice time, and there was hardly any war after the First World War. So people were living in peace. So people didn't believe that Hitler was capable of these things. But a few people who believed, the few of the Jews who believed, went to America, crossed the Atlantic and went to America. They said, we can't trust this man, because he has always been talking about. But some Jews said, no, we are proud citizens of Germany. I am a doctor, I'm a professor, I'm teaching Berlin University and what. And they stayed, yet they could have gone. Why? Because they didn't believe the conspiracy. They didn't believe somebody can be so evil. And the conspiracy was too big for them to believe, so they didn't believe it. And eventually, they were killed in concentration camps, and gassed, and buried alive. Yet they could have escaped. But that's what it is. So somebody comes up with a conspiracy which sounds so out of this world, and you are like, no, it's not possible. Anyway, I'll tell you where all this. The first person actually who used the One World Order, those are the words he used, was a man called Albert Pike. Now, Albert Pike was a man who wrote a book called The Morals and The Dogma of the Freemasonry, you know, Scottish Freemasonry, and what. He was an American, and he was a deep, 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 deep Satanist. Actually, he called himself Albert Pike Lucifer, after his master, and he said he often had visions with Lucifer, in which the devil himself told him things that were going to come to pass. He had visitations of Lucifer himself, in which, and these are his words. I am not quoting anybody else. That's precisely what the man said of himself. And he's the first person who used the one world order. But he used that in 1871. Would you believe it? 1871. In that book that I've told you about, The Morals and Dogma of the Scottish Freemasonry, which was published in August 1871. Now, later on, the next person who used the word was a woman called Alice Bailey, whom I've spoken about on this show before. She's the woman who wrote the book, The Plan, of how to rid the world of all Judeo-Christianity and introduce a new world order without God. Without God. And now, Alice Bailey and Albert Pike worked together, although Albert Pike died in the 1890s, and Alice Bailey lived until 1948. But they had the same master, because Alice Bailey herself said she got all the things she wrote from a demonic spirit, which she called the Tibetan spirit, Master something, Kuno or something like that. So I'm not misquoted. These are things they wrote in their own books, that they got the things they said from the devil. Okay? Now, Albert Pike in that book predicted that there were going to be three world wars. Now, the man died in 1891, and he wrote this book in 1871. He predicted that there would be three world wars that would be necessary to usher in a one world order. And he said they would all be fought in the 20th century. And he wrote in that same book that the first world war must be brought about in order to permit the Illuminati to overthrow the powers of the Tsars in Russia, and of making that country a fortress of atheism or of atheistic communism, where there is of godless communism, that is atheistic, atheist. Okay? Then he says the divergences caused by the agentur, the agents of the Illuminati, between the British and the Germanic empires will be used to foment this war. At the end of the war, communism will be built and used in order to destroy other governments and in order to weaken the religions. And that is precisely what happened. The man died in 1891. The First World War started in 1914. Okay? 24 years actually, after he had died. But it happened exactly. British and Germanic empires used to start the war. At the end of the war, communism comes. Communism becomes the fortress of atheism. Atheistic communism, of course, communists spent generations, produced generations of godless children. And that was their purpose. That was the purpose of them, to produce generations of children who did not believe in God. And how did they do that? I mean, simple means. Children in school at the ages of 4, 5, 6, you know, in other school, would at lunchtime, they would be told to sit down and they expect lunch. They expect to be served food. So they first tell them that pray to God that he gives you food. So the children pray, and there is no food. Then they will tell him, now pray to Stalin that he gives you food. And as soon as they start praying, they serve lunch. So they told them, you see, there is no God. Stalin is God. So basically, just, you know, children at that age and how, you know, they are so easily influenced and what. So they produced a generation of people who didn't believe in God at all, atheists throughout the communist world. And that was their purpose. And that was predicted, like, by this man. Of course, was getting all that from Lucifer. Now, if I tell you that the New World Order people started the wars and controlled the wars, you know that there is no way they could have known the wars were coming if they were not going to start them. Okay? And of course, they are all influenced by the same force that was talking to Albert Pike, and that is Lucifer. That is the devil. Now, this is what he said about the Second World War. He said, the Second World War must be fomented or started by taking advantage of the differences between the fascists and the political Zionists. Now, he's the first person who used the word Zionists, by the way, this man. And he said, this war must be brought about so that Nazism is destroyed and that political Zionism becomes strong enough to institute a sovereign state of Israel in Palestine. 1871. During the Second World War, the international communism must become strong enough in order to balance Christendom. So communism should become strong to fight Christendom, that is the kingdom, the Christianity, okay? Which would then be restrained and held in check, that is Christianity, would then be restrained and held in check until the time we need it for the final social cataclysm. Now, this is so deep because he's saying we are going to fight Christianity and completely get it out of Europe, which they have mostly done. Now, I find people here saying, me, I'm an atheist, and they don't know that all these things, I mean, the devil is just loving it, you calling yourself an atheist, because he started all this. So they said, now I'm going to tell you something, and this, by the way, I'm quoting from that book, okay, which was published in 1871 and has not been changed, and wrote all these things. Now, precisely as he said, the Second World War, after the Second World War, communism was made strong to begin taking over weaker governments. So in 1945, at the Potsdam Conference, which was held between Harry Truman, President of the United States, Winston Churchill, Prime Minister of Great Britain, and Joseph Stalin of the Soviet Union, a large portion of Europe was simply handed over to Russia on the other side of the world. The aftermath of the war with Japan helped to sweep communism into China. So the whole of that region was handed over to Russia to introduce their communism and their godlessness. Exactly like this man said. Now, this is what he says about the Third World War, which, of course, is yet to happen. He says the Third World War must be fomented, by taking advantage of the differences caused by the agents of the Illuminati between the political Zionists, that is Israel, and the leaders of the Islamic world. Wow, how interesting is that? The war must be conducted in such a way that Islam, that is the Muslim Arabic world, and political Zionism, the state of Israel, mutually destroy each other. Meanwhile, the other nations, once more divided on this issue, will be constrained to fight to the point of complete physical, moral, spiritual, and economic exhaustion. So they make you fight until you're totally exhausted, and that's creating a problem. Then the people say, now what do we do? We cannot continue fighting. Then that's the desired reaction. Then that's when they bring in the New World Order, the One World Government, the Antichrist to rule, and everybody accepts him because now they are tired of all these wars. And who caused the wars? The New World Order. Why? To create a problem. Then they create a reaction they want. After the reaction, they create the solution they want. Now I'm reading again from this man, Albert Pike. He said, we shall unleash the nihilists. Now, nihilists are some confused people who believe there is no purpose in life. You know, there is no such thing as absolute morals. Morals are just determined by men, okay? So it's men who decide that that incest is bad. It's not inherent, okay? It's just us who decide that you can't marry your sister. But otherwise, morals are, they are confused people, eh? So he says, we shall unleash the nihilists and the atheists, and we shall provoke a formidable social cataclysm, which is a social change, which in its horror will show clearly to the nations the effect of absolute atheism, the origin of savagery, and of most bloody turmoil. Then everywhere, the citizens, obliged to defend themselves against the world minority of revolutionaries, you know, all these words are used by revolutionaries, these are demonic words, by the way, but of course are used by so many people, will exterminate those destroyers of civilization. And the multitude will be disillusioned with Christianity, whose deistic spirits will from that moment be without compass. So here is what he's saying. When all this atheism comes and all these nihilists have been unleashed, these confused people who have no doctrine in particular, the multitude of Christianity will be disillusioned and their spirits will be without compass or without direction. And he says they will be anxious for an ideal, but without knowing where to render its adoration, that's the Christians who will be disillusioned, they will receive the true light through the universal manifestation of the pure doctrine of Lucifer, brought finally out in the public view. Now, this is the whole purpose of the New World Order. First of all, they come and tell people, atheists, you know, there is no God, and what? Science has proven. And all, I mean, they control these things, you know. Science has proved this. You know what? Tell me, you cannot scientifically. And somebody says that and sounds so intelligent, yet he's so stupid. Eh? And, you know, scientifically proven. You know what? Whatever. I mean, how can you scientifically prove God? So, now you fall into their line of thinking. Because you've been conditioned to think like that. Then there's all these disillusioned Christians who are, they are confused, they have no compass, have no direction. I'm using this man's words. So they move to that stupidity of atheism and what. And they also get into all that because they did not do direction. That's why I taught you last weekend, stay in the presence of God. Get clear direction from God. That is what is going to save you from they come. Now, when those people have entered into all that atheism, now finally, he says, then they will be ready to receive the pure doctrine of Lucifer, which will be brought out in public view this time. No longer hidden, now they are bringing it out open. Then he says, this manifestation will result from a general reactionary movement, which will follow the destruction of Christianity and of atheism, both conquered and exterminated at the same time. Now, the devil does not want atheism as the final place, so people don't believe there is God. What he wants is, after they have been taught that there is no God, because science has said this and that, then afterwards, he transfers them to actually believing in Lucifer and worshipping Lucifer. Because what Lucifer wants is the multitude of people to worship him. That's what he wants. Now, this is what this man said. Okay? This is what this Albert Pike. And now, he said these things in 1871. Can you believe it? 1871. And even said there's going to be Zionists, between Zionists and the Arabic world. That's where the third world war is going to come by. Does that seem likely? Very much so. Very much so. Why? Because now, suddenly, you know, of course, they create a problem. They get these Arabs to go and start bombing Israel, okay, throwing scuds into Israel. Then Israel reacts, and when Israel reacts, these people show you pictures of Palestinians crying over their children, and they are trying to get the desired reaction from you, where you say, no, something has to be done, but they are trying to destroy Israel. That is the whole purpose. But you see, people fall into it because they don't get to the bottom of it. And of course, you know, people are so... I mean, they argue, you know, when there are people who argue, the people who argue the most know the least, you understand? So they argue, you know what, something has to be done, you know, they are killing innocent Palestinians, and what? And the same guy is killing innocent Palestinians, the New World Order. Yes, they are killing innocent Palestinians, and nobody wants to see anybody dying. But the same people who are doing it are trying to get a reaction from you, and you're falling into their trap. And then when they fall into the trap, then you cry out, something has to be done. Then they say, thank you very much. Now, this is where we come in. And they come and push you in the direction that they want you to go in. And, you fall into their trap and everything. Now, this man, Albert Pike, if you can, you can go and read about him. He used to call himself Albert Pike Lucifer. So these are the people. And now, his writings are followed verbatim by all these people. Now, what else? The lady called Alice Bailey produced a book I told you called The Plan, which she outlined 10 ways to read the world, to take Judeo-Christian values out of the world and create a godless world, where what Albert Pike calls a cultural cataclysm, a social cataclysm, where they turn around the social order, okay? Because the social order before was, straight out. This is done, you know, a girl grows old, falls in love with a man, they get married, they produce children, and so on. I mean, there was a clear social order, which was in Europe and America, was based on basic teachings of Christianity. Now, they want to turn it all around. Now, of course, they have introduced homosexuality, forced it on everybody, and now you find so-called intelligent people who are going to study abroad and what, coming back and saying people are free to decide whom they want. You don't know those things which they parrot from Bazungu, whom they think just because they have long noses, they know everything. And then, the next thing they are going to promote, I wrote something talking about the 6 stages of deception, and the next thing they are going to promote, and I used an example of bestiality, that is the practice of having sex with animals. And it is the next thing they are going to promote. Wait and see, because it was in Alice Bailey's book. She said they must promote homosexuality, bestiality, and incest. So very soon they will be saying, yeah, it's okay, you can marry your sister. You can marry your immediate sister and same father. And they are going to be promoting this thing. And the same people who are saying now, you know, those who are fighting homosexuality are not exposed. They are the same people who will say the same things about bestiality, and they will say the same things about incest. And all these things were written by that lady. And where did she get them from? Straight from the devil. So now, when you're there protecting homosexuality, you are actually protecting the devil. Whereas you think you're protecting science, over science has proved what, and everything. And when these people want to promote something, they come up with arguments for and against, and they control them. So they basically control how people think. And we don't understand this thing. So you fall straight into it because you've not taken time to study. Why am I thinking like this? is it, does it mean I'm modern if I support this? What does modern mean? Okay? Are you falling into the one world, the Babylonian mindset, the Babylonian way of thinking? And I'm sure so many people are, and they don't know that they are. And then eventually, after everybody has been put into that position where they are ready to accept everything that comes out from the New World Order, the next thing, the final thing that comes out is the mark of the beast, the 666. And will people take it? They will take it. Will Christians take it? They will take it. Just as easily as they are taking all this crap about defending things which are not Christian, they will accept, they will do it. They will, Christians will take the mark of the beast, and it will be presented in a positive way, in the same way that all these other things are presented, and with so many benefits. I will tell you the benefits. And Christians will go and take it, and they will forget that the Bible clearly says that anyone who takes it is definitely going to spend eternity in hell. There is no place for repentance as soon as you take the mark of the beast. There is no repentance. That's it. Sealed. Your place in hell is sealed, signed, sealed, and delivered. So, this is how all this deception comes about. We'll continue, of course, talking about the New World Order. I'll tell you how it affects the intellectualism and how they planned that long time ago to use education to front their New World Order things, including all this atheism, science versus, you know, the Bible. Those two were never meant to be diametrically opposed to each other, but these people planted it that way. I will give you the quotes of them. I'll tell you how they control ecclesiastical, political. I'm just giving you a bit of the political. I'll tell you all the other things in consequent shows, and you'll know precisely what the New World Order is. Now I have to end here. Thank you so much for listening to The Watchman. If you have any question, if you have any reaction, UgandanWatchman@gmail.com is the place to go, or facebook.com/UgandanWatchman.
That was The Watchman, with fascinating insight into the end times. Join us again next week for another update on Bible prophecy.